We are doing a series called A People of Prayer, and this came out of just a real sense we had as a church that God was inviting us to be a people of prayer. And not that we were not people who prayed, but that there's a sense of God wanting to put something on us, you know, that we would be known not just in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, in the principalities and powers. That is a people of prayer. And there was this invitation to respond to that as we came into the year 2017, to dig deeper into our own prayer lives, into what God wanted to teach us about prayer. And so we've been spending the past couple of months really looking at prayer, what it is to be a people of prayer, looking at people in the scriptures who were people of prayer, looking at different principles and ways of engaging with that, and really, you know, finding out what it is to respond to that invitation. We've provided some very practical ways that we could go deeper into this. We've been doing the prayer course in our small groups. Prayer meetings. We've got this 24/7 prayer event coming up next month, praying into the week leading up to Easter. So there's some very practical things, but this really, really is not like a little program thing. It's not like we want to tick boxes. Yeah, we talked about prayer. Oh, I went to that, you know, did the prayer event, prayer course. You know, I turned up at the prayer event. Okay, great. I'm a person of prayer. I can get that, like, you know, like when you're in the Cubs, you know, and you get a little badge that says, I've done that. You know, I've now got a little badge on my arm that says, I'm a person of prayer. You know, it's not about that. It's about the Holy Spirit putting in us the boldness, the faith, the desire to respond to what God does. And I kind of think of it as really like an invitation from God to us all to be people of prayer, that we would have lives marked by prayer. Because prayer is one of the most important, powerful things we can do. And it's responding to that invitation. You know, just imagine you have a particular need, perhaps a financial need, you know, you're really, really struggling. And you happen to bump into an incredibly wealthy friend, you know, who's a multimillionaire. And your friend pulls out a business card and says, look, if there is anything you need, you just be in touch. You give me a call, you drop me an email, be in touch. And you're like, oh, thank you. And you take the business card, put it in your pocket, and you walk off. And a week later, you know, you haven't been in touch with the friend, but you're still in need. And you bump into that friend again, and they go, do you remember I said, be in touch? And they pull out another business card, you know, and they invite you to be in touch with them. And you're like, oh, thank you, that's great, very good. You put it in your pocket and you carry on. And this goes on for weeks and you never actually respond to the invitation. What use is it to you to have 16 business cards in your pocket from the same friend inviting you to reach out to them if you don't ever do it? And I feel like that with prayer in my own life. You know, when God keeps saying, seek me, ask, search for me. I'm here, I'm waiting, I keep inviting you. And I'm like, gee, thanks God, thanks God, thanks for the invitation, thanks for the, oh, it means so much to receive that invitation. But if I don't become a person who prays, then nothing happens. And so God is, in a loving, loving way, in a generous way, saying, my resources are here for you. I want you to engage with me, to reach out to me, to ask, to seek, to knock, to search me with your whole being, with your whole life, and just see what happens. So would you, today we're going to look at John chapter 6, and I'm going to do this as briefly as possible, but I just want to pray as we open our Bibles to John chapter 6. So hopefully there's some Bibles scattered around. Otherwise, if you got it on your phone, have a look. But let me pray. God, I thank you for this incredible invitation that you are calling us to be a people of prayer. We say yes to it, not just to receive the invitation and stick it in our pocket, but to respond to it, to be people who pray, to become people whose life, whole lifestyle is marked by prayer, that our whole internal posture would be one of looking to you. And we pray that what you want to do in us and through us in the act of prayer would be accomplished. We say yes to what you're doing for your glory. Amen. John chapter 6. Jesus is about his ministry, and we're going to be looking at John 6, 25 to 35, but the kind of lead in John chapter 6 is this account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. If you've been around church for any time, if you're in Sunday school, you know, you would have had the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus is working with this huge crowd. And in fact, it's probably more than 5,000 because they just count the men and not all the women and children. But Jesus is teaching this huge crowd of people that's following him. And the need for food arises. And so they find this kid who's got his packed lunch. You know, he's got five barley loaves and two small fish. And Jesus takes his food. Bless this kid. You know, he's the one smart person in the whole crowd who's actually thought about food. But he offers it up to Jesus to do something with it. And so Jesus takes the boy's bread and fish, and he lifts it up to heaven, and he prays this prayer of thanksgiving to the Father, and then breaks the bread and the fish and distributes it. And somehow in the breaking, this miracle happens and it multiplies. And so he breaks off a bit more and breaks off a bit more and breaks off a bit more, and somehow it just never stops. And there's enough to go around. So much so that at the end, when the disciples go around and gather all the leftovers, there are 12 basketfuls of leftovers. You know, it's just a tremendous miracle. And just in that account, there's so much wealth of revelation about God. You know, just, I love it that Jesus' miracle isn't God multiply the fish. That's not his prayer, is it? He simply just gives thanks to God because he knows what his Father is like. He just says, thank you, Father, for the way you are. Thank you for the gift of this food that you're about to, you know, and there it just multiplies. I think it's amazing that there are 12 baskets left over. What does that represent about the overflowing nature of God? And John, in his gospel, teasingly points out that this happens just ahead of the Jewish Passover festival. And because Jesus, in doing this with the bread and fish, breaking it and multiply it, is about to do the same with his own body, isn't he? He's just about to go to Jerusalem and break his own body, that will, and his life will be multiplied out into many. Anyway, as you read through John 6, at the end of this day, Jesus then sends the disciples ahead to cross the lake out in their boats. They jump in the boats, they go ahead, and Jesus meets them en route in the middle of the night by walking on water. And again, a whole load of wealth in that. But the crowd, realizing Jesus has disappeared, go in search for him and find him on the other side of the lake. And that's where we're going to pick up today, John 6 from verse 25. So it says there, when they found him on the other side of the lake, and they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now again, so much wealth in this passage, but I just want to point out one thing, and it's this. Jesus says to the people, when you experienced me feeding you yesterday, you missed the point. See, the people come back to him again the next day and say to him, you know, where have you been? And he says, you're just back for another free meal. You are here with the same prayer request. You had a need yesterday. Something happened in answer to that need, but you missed what was being revealed to you in that prayer being answered. And so here you are today, just with the same prayer request, in need again. Jesus, I believe, is trying to point out to people here that the reason for answered prayer is not just the answer to the prayer. What happens in an answered prayer is that there is a revelation of who God is. Do I need to swap microphones? This is ducking in and out. Can I just swap over here? Is that okay? Hello, hello. Okay, Jesus says the reason a prayer gets answered is not simply to have the result of that prayer being answered, but it is to reveal something of who God is. Jesus is saying that when you received that miracle, there was a message in the miracle, and you completely missed that. You see, in heaven, we won't be asking God for anything anymore, will we? We'll have everything we need. But we also won't be living by faith, because we will see God. We'll experience his presence. We'll know him fully. And so when God answers a prayer, now it's a revelation of who he is. Just do me a favor. Take a minute and just think of any prayer that God has answered. Just remember a prayer that God answered. Maybe recently, maybe a while ago, maybe a small prayer, maybe a big prayer. Just think, what prayer has God answered for you? Have you got one? Just one prayer? Yeah? Now, just take a short while and think about what about God's character was revealed in him answering that prayer. And you may even, if you have a pen and paper, just jot down some notes or on a notepad, or just register in your mind. Think of what God might have been saying about what he's like in answering that particular prayer. I hope you've come up with at least two or three things that answered prayer showed you about the way God is. Now, can I ask you, and you don't need to answer this out loud, but when you got that answered prayer, is this something you did? Did you just receive the answer, oh, thank you, and move on? Or did you say, what does that answer show me about God's character? God, what have you shown me about your heart that I can hold on to as a revelation of you? In John 6, the people say to Jesus, give us a sign from heaven, right? Give us a revelation. Moses miraculously produced bread as a sign for him. What will you do, Jesus? Now just think about that. What did Jesus do the day before? He miraculously produced bread. And yet the next day they say to him, Jesus, give us a sign. Moses produced bread. What kind of sign will you give us? And Jesus is kind of saying, you know, yesterday there was that thing we all did together where miraculously the bread multiplied and you all got fed. You missed the point. The very next day, 24 hours later, you've forgotten what was revealed in that miracle, and here you are asking the same thing again. Now here's the rub. How much are we like that ourselves? We have a need maybe in a relationship or in our finances or in our work or in our health or, you know, in our circumstances, something goes on. And we come to God and we're desperate and we really feel the hunger, the poverty of our situation emotionally or physically or whatever. And we go, God, do a miracle. And amazingly, he answers that prayer. And we walk around that mountain and we come back to the same situation at some point later. And we've completely forgotten what he did before, and we just come back with the same desperation, like we're some sort of abandoned children, and we're like, oh God, you know, save me. And he says, hang on a second. We've been in this situation before. What happened? What did I teach you about my ways? If any of you have been with us for some time and followed the story of the lighthouse, you will have heard the many, many times God has provided for us financially. The whole thing has been a miracle from start to finish. And I have had times where I've been on my knees before God because there's been no money and we've just needed a miracle. And it's like, oh God, please, you know, provide for this, provide for that, a huge electricity bill or some big thing we needed to do. And God has provided. It's been amazing. And just recently, you know, the finances for the lighthouse specifically have run right down. And it was really looking scary again. And I was on my knees again saying, oh God, what's going to happen? The doors might shut. What will we do? The money's about to run out. And I really felt challenged by God, like him saying, Eric, what have I done before? What have I shown you? What happened the last time you were in this situation? Oh God, you showed that you are generous, that you provided. And here I am again with the same prayer request. You're not any different. I'm coming to the same Father. And so let me ask that prayer with the confidence. You know, Jesus says, doesn't he, in Matthew 6, teaching on prayer, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Jesus says, when you pray, what do you already know about the character of God? When you pray, what has God already revealed to you? I mean, we know he's like a father. We could just even take human stuff from our own experience of being fathers or guessing what the good Father in heaven might be like. But then there are our experiences of him being a father to us. And we say to ourselves, well, what do we already know about that. Just last week, I was preparing for this message, and Rebecca and I were talking about this principle, you know, of what God has already revealed. And when we come to him and ask him for things, we should be coming saying, well, hang on, what do I already know about God? And it was last Thursday morning, and Rebecca was supposed to be, she was working at the lighthouse, supposed to be walking in, and she was running late. And so she said to me, Eric, I'm really sorry, but is there any chance you could possibly give me a lift up to town? Because I'm really, really late. And so I cheekily said to her, well, hon, what do you already know about me? What do you know about what I'm like from previous times you've had to ask a request like this? And so playing along with it, she said, you know, well, I know already that you're kind, you're thoughtful, you're willing to help. And we had a laugh about it, and of course I gave her a lift to town. But it's that thing, isn't it, of coming to someone, you know what they're already like. And God invites us to do the same. Bill Johnson talks about how every time God answers a prayer with a miracle, he wants us to see the revelation of his character in it, so that the next time we come to that same request, we already have a revelation of his character to respond to. And Bill Johnson points out that sometimes there's a gap. Sometimes you ask God the first time for something, and he answers it really quickly because he just wants you to have that revelation of his character. But the next time you have the same issue, there may be a delay in experiencing the answer. And part of that delay is because God wants to stretch your confidence in that revelation you've had. What did you learn the last time? You know, so we may have asked God for some finances, and he answers really quickly. And then the next time we ask him, it's a little bit of a longer wait because he's saying, well, do you trust me? Last time I showed you, I'll provide. Do you trust me to provide? And if we're in a panic within 24 hours, then clearly we didn't receive the revelation properly. I had this, and I think I've shared this story before, but 20 years ago, I had to apply for a passport. It's a whole family saga, but I have a South African passport. Convoluted process of applying, and we were going to Chicago for our mission training before we came to plant the church. And I went to the South African embassy. I said, I need a passport, and I need it in 2 weeks. And they said, it takes 3 months. And I said, no, you don't understand. I need it in 2 weeks. And they said, Mr. Jesperson, it takes 3 months. That's the process. There's nothing we can do about it. I said, all right. Went home. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Hi, it's the South African embassy here. Your passport is ready for collection. We don't understand how this happened because it had to be sent to, the application gets sent to South Africa, goes through a whole bureaucratic process and comes back. They said, we don't know how it arrived this quickly. It must be a miracle. I said, yes, it must be. Went and got my passport. Amazing. God does passports in 2 weeks. Fantastic. Last summer, we were going to the States for my son's wedding, and I needed to get my passport renewed. So just under 4 months in advance, I go to the South African embassy to apply for it, and they said it now takes 4 months to get a new passport. Well, it was just shy of 4 months, which means potentially on their timeline, my passport wouldn't be ready. So I'm like, it's fine. God does passports in 2 weeks, you know. So I'm totally trusting. 2 weeks go by, no passport. I'm still relaxed. It's okay. God's got time. I've got, you know, we're traveling in 15 weeks. 2 weeks is fine. 3 weeks go by. 4 weeks go by. 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, no passport. I send them an email, no response. 8 weeks, 9 weeks. I call them up, leave a voicemail, no response. I think I'm still trusting God, but the passport still hasn't arrived. 10 weeks, 11 weeks. 12 weeks, still no passport. 13 weeks, suddenly a switch goes and I'm panicked. What I knew of God's character, suddenly I threw out the window. And it's like, God, I need the passport. And amazingly, in response to that, I just felt prompted to go and look at their website again, and I found a different phone number. I called them up, amazingly, miraculously got through to a human being, And they said, yes, Mr. Jespersen, your passport is here waiting for you to collect. And what had happened is somehow in their bureaucratic process had failed, and they just hadn't notified me. And all my attempts to communicate with them before just fell on deaf ears, had got lost somewhere, and I didn't know. Who knows? It might have been there from week two. I just didn't know. But you see what happened? God was stretching me to say, do you still believe I can provide this in time? And that's how God works. So we have to ask ourselves in John 6, what did God reveal? What did Jesus reveal about his character? And to sit with that and go, what did it mean that he said he was the bread of life? In feeding and saying he's the bread of heaven and that the Father provides the bread of heaven. What does that mean? Who is the giver behind the gift? Jesus said, I fed you, but the point wasn't what you received as bread. It was the revelation of the giver behind that gift. So every time God answers our prayer, it's not the gift of the answered prayer. It's the revelation of the giver behind the gift. Does that make sense? And I just have on my heart, I hope the Holy Spirit sinks this in for us, that God wants to challenge us to cling on to the revelations of his character in answered prayer. The point of answered prayer is the revelation of his character, and that we would lean in and receive that each time. Otherwise, we're missing the point of the answered prayer. So we're going to take communion now, and what I want to do is just as we prepare our hearts for communion, is even in that act to ask ourselves, what is it that God has revealed in communion? In Jesus saying, here is my body, here is my blood. What is it in him giving his life? What has he revealed to you that you can hold on to and know this is God? This is his character towards me. This is his posture. Paul prays in Ephesians 1, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That's my prayer, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened as we engage with communion today. That it would reveal something of who God is to us as we experience that. So I'm going to hand over to Paul, who's going to lead us in that communion. And I know we're going to run over a little bit today. My apologies. But let's just take time to engage with this.